by Yigash, as Kol Dodi points out, that you have this Lashon Hagosha by Yehuda here, and by Avraham Avinu, in Parshas Vayera, when he's speaking to Hashem about stone by Amora, and Rashi points out there on the Medrash that Hagosha can be used for three things. Pius, appeasement, milchama, war, the bottom koshim, and tefillah. And as we see by Yaakov Avinu when he prepared for Esav, as we spoke, and as I pointed out there also, that the logical order would be, first, you do tshuva, because as I said there, the ideal tefillah has to be with teshuva and tzedakah, as we say in Yom Rosh and Yom Kippur, teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir, and esrei ha'gzeira. So the ideal tefillah, one has to come before Hashem already with tshuva and tzedakah, which is halach anyway, which is brought down, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, that before davening one should give tzedakah. Then we can approach Hashem with the most beautiful tefillah. So here also, for sure, Yehuda prepared himself with the tefillah the way he was supposed to. And as we see, he spoke with words of honey and with words of sting. And of course, the honey would be the ones to be spoken first. And as I pointed out also by Yaakov Avinu, that even from the Pesukim, you can see the points of Teshuva that was done, Katonti Mikol HaChasodim, and the Tzedakah with the Tefillah that you see in the Pesukim. And Rashi brings from Chazal that he separated Maestris for giving the Matana to Esav. So of course, Yehuda surely did everything he could here also. And as Rosh Shiva points out, that here we see in the words of the Pasuk that he says, in the ears of my master. Why is that Lashon used? Because since he is speaking tough words also, it would be the smart thing to do to speak privately in front of the ruler. As we can understand, even someone who's not a ruler, when it's in front of people, besides the embarrassment, it's all the more so he has to stick to his guns, so to speak. And even if Yosef, who, of course, Yehuda and the brothers don't know he's Yosef yet, even if he would want to give in, but if you embarrass him in front of his subjects, we understand he just won't give in. Not only because below his dignity, what will he appear as in front of his subjects? Wishy-washy or whatever. That's why Yehuda mentions a private conversation with Yosef. You see also in Pasuk Chaf, one of the things that Yehuda tells Yosef is the Yelet Zekunim Katan, besides Yav Zakein, V'Yachiv Meis. And as Rashi points out, he said this Sheker, in this Sakana Dika situation he's dealing with, in order that he shouldn't jump on him and then come with another excuse against them to bring Yosef, this lost brother. So therefore he said that he's dead. But we can ask a big question. We remember In Parshas Miketz, Rashi brings down also from Chazal that when they were speaking to Yosef for the first time when they went down to Egypt and he was questioning them, they told him that they're coming down to get their brother, their long-lost brother, and he asks them, and let's say it's an exorbitant price in order to redeem him from his slave state, what would they do? And they told him, money is no object. So we have a big question. How could they now tell him, as Yehuda is speaking, that Yosef is dead, if they already told him he wasn't dead? So I would say what we must say in order not to have this contradiction is that he would say that they did as they said, searching him out, and what they found was that they were told that he's dead. Where he's buried couldn't be told. They couldn't find that out. But the ones who they asked, that's what they told them about this Hebrew slave that passed away and was taken away and buried, and they don't know where. So therefore, he couldn't tell them anymore to bring him, use another kind of subterfuge in order to catch them, like he's doing with Binyamin, seems to them. And then it says further how he tells him that he was an Arev, pledged himself to make sure that Binyamin, his brother, comes back. And he says the Lashon in Lamed Beis, which he said, Yaakov Avinu, V'chatosti la'avi kol hayamim. I would be sinning to my father all the days. And as Rashi says there in the other parasha from Chazal, he's even saying Olam Haba kol hayamim. And Rosh Hashivah points out also, notice the Lashon, V'chatosti. He is going so far as to say, as we know, a chet is an inadvertent sin, whereas mezid, for instance, is an intentional sin. So he is saying to his father also, and which is one of the reasons why Yaakov accepted the offer, that even if it would be a shogeg, that everybody would admit that it was only a shogeg, the reason why Binyamin is not coming back, he is still taking that responsibility to show how far he is going to be careful and pledging himself. We see from Yosef also the tremendous lesson of Mechila. We can all understand, imagine going through the tribulations that Yosef went through because of his brothers selling him into Mitzrayim. The frightening situation even before that with the pit, and thinking they'll even kill him at the time. And even so, the unbelievable Mechila, that everything is forgiven. And not only that, they shouldn't blame themselves. The people who are being mochel, that he's telling them that they should not blame themselves. It wasn't them, it was Bashert. V'hachayos lachem lefleita gedola. And we see also when he tells them to come down, he uses the Lashon Rado Elai, come down to me, Al Tamod, which you can apply also the Gematria from the Rosh Hashivah, as he says when Yaakov Avinu said Redu, the 210 years of their stay in Mitzrayim. And it's no contradiction, even though here it comes up to 209, because we can of course say in the 210th year it will be their going out. So it ended already. It's only partial years for that partial year, and especially at the beginning, in the first year. Also, if it's a partial year, so since it's a partial year, you don't have to count it into the full total. So it will be 209, and the 210th, they will be redeemed. And we see, as Rashi points out from Chazal, that when he cries on Binyamin's neck, and Binyamin cries on his neck, that they are crying because they see the future Korbanos in Klal Yisrael, Mishkan Shiloh and Yosef's portion, the two Batei Midrashim in Binyamin's portion. And the Rosh Hashiva in Kol Dodi asks, why at this time is this Nevuah given to them? This Ruach HaKodesh, to see this. And he explains, because we see that this is the cause of the Churban we have now, that the Beis HaMikdash is still not built. We are still in the Golos. And as the Gemara in Yuma points out, that this Golos was caused by Sinas Chinam, the Lashon Hara amongst the people, the Machloikis. And that's why, because of this, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and still not built. And as the Gemara points out, that the Lashon Hara is the Avi Avos HaTuma Keneged Kulam, just like Talmud Torah in the Tosefta of Peya is Keneged Kulam with the mitzvahs. Here Lashon Hara is Keneged Kulam as far as Averis, the depths of evil that can result from it and the punishments that can come from it. This is why at this time they are given this Nevuah, because this is what caused the Golus right here and now, that brought about it. The Lashon Hara, the Sinas Chinam amongst the brothers. Even according to the Amadrega of Tzidkis, the Chut HaSara, that it wasn't Bahazada, as others would have done it. But according to Amadrega of Tzidkis that they had, it's Rahman Aslan can be equal to one who does it with Hadzada. And therefore, it is showing us how important it is to uproot this in order, like the Chafetz Chaim says in Shmiras HaLoshen, in order that the Golus should end, logically, in order to fix what was done, one has to do, so to speak, the opposite in good. Where there was the Sinas Chinam that caused the destruction, there has to be in its place an Avas Chinam to bring the Golus to an end. Yosef gives the brothers each one a change of clothes, and Binyamin, as it says in Pasuk Chaf Beis, he gives 5 changes of clothes plus 300 pieces of silver. Of course, one has to ask, as the Gemara does, the one who, because of favoritism, was sold into slavery, went down to Egypt, can do such a thing himself? Didn't he, so to speak, learn the lesson? So the Gemara says that actually what he was showing Binyamin was a remez, that he will have a descendant, Mordechai, who comes from Sheva Binyamin. And when he becomes second also, a viceroy, so to speak, at that time also, to Achashverosh, he will also have five different royal clothes, as opposed to there says in Megillas Esther. But the Vilna Gaon points out the Chaira is still a problem. The other brothers, what do they know about this? All they see is he's getting five and they're getting one. So he points out and says that actually his five changes of clothes was equal to their one. They had a Pierre Cardin, he might have just had whatever from plain, so to speak, store. And they were all equal as far as value. But of course, there still remains the 300 pieces of silver, which the Gemara doesn't mention. So, there is a Balatura Ma'aruch that explains it this way. We know from the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Daled Amud Aleph, that if someone sells his Eved to a Goy, he is fined up to 10 times the value. And as we know from Chumash, the value of an Eved is 30 shkolim. 30 times 10 is 300. So therefore, each of the brothers who are part of this conspiracy should have been fined, according to this, 300 shekel kesef. So by not doing that, by being mochel them, this 300 shkolin, he is actually giving it to them, as we can understand. So what will happen if he does not give Binyamin now 300? He is still showing favoritism to Binyamin, against Binyamin. So therefore, that's why he must give these 300 shekel kesef to Binyamin in order that there should not be any more favoritism. And they should all be equal in his eyes. It also mentions later on when they come and tell Yaakov Avinu that Od Yosef Chai V'chi Hu Moshel B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. When Yaakov Avinu hears it, he faints. He Vayafog Libo Ki Lohem In Lohem. Couldn't believe it. As Rosh Shiva points out in Kol Dodi, the non-belief was in essence, and as we see really from the words of the Pasuk, it doesn't say, O Yosef Chai, and right away he faints at that time. They add, V'chi Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, and then he faints. So it's not the Yosef Chai that brings about the faint. It's with this other statement. And Rosh Hashiva points out that that's what caused the faint. The fact that he couldn't believe someone who will become the viceroy of Mitzrayim and will still be the tzaddik that he was before. We know very well what has happened throughout history when a person is attracted and falls into the good life, so to speak, and especially becoming a ruler of the land, how their principles are compromised, Rahman Utzlan. So dealing with the statistics, Yaakov Avinu fainted, because that's what his thoughts were. But when they told him and revived him, because they said, no, he's still the same Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, and proved it with the Agolos, because that was the simen, as Rashi points out from Chazal, that he brought them, that he remembered where they were, and when what they were learning at the time he left Eglar Arufa, and he made sure to make known to his father that nothing was lost in his tzidkis, Baruch Hashem. That revived him, and he was just overwhelmingly anxious to see him again. It says in Perek Memvav Pasuk Ches, Ve'elishmos b'nei Yisrael aboim etzraimo Yaakov v'vanav b'chor Yaakov Ruvain. We notice it uses both names of Yaakov, Yaakov and Yisrael, and we can say it's to show us what was needed for their sojourn in Mitzrayim. Both functions of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu symbolizing more his toil and tribulations that he went through to keep the highest madrigas of righteousness. Yisroel symbolizing his accomplishment afterwards and what he's zelcher for all future generations. And this is what has to be going down with them in Mitzrayim. Ma'isav of Simen Labonim. Having always in mind to learn the Yaakov Avinu, especially on an individual level, what they must do to accomplish, to always do the Ritzon Hashem, no matter what. And what they gain, and the tzchus avos they had when they accomplished that, to be called Yisrael. The Chafetz Chaim points out a very interesting thing when you see the list of those who are going down now, and you notice Binyamin, of course, with his 10 sons, and Dan with his one son, Hushim. And it's a lesson for us to understand Rabos Machshavos B'Levish V'Asas Hashem Hisakum, that what our finite minds might think is a sure thing could be farthest from the truth. And it's pointed out over here. As we know in Parshas Bamidbar, for instance, when it gives the count of each of the Shvatim, B'nei Binyamin, with 10 sons, you would think probably he'd be the most abundant as far as people. And it turns out he's one of the lower ones, the least. Whereas Dan, with one son, and he gives birth to generations, that is the second largest amongst the Shvatim. To teach us that lesson, to always remember, no matter what the odds are, if we fulfill the will of Hashem, we don't have any worries, no matter what it is. When Yaakov Avinu was asked by Pharaoh how old he was, and of course we have to understand, even though he's 130, surely Pharaoh has seen men that age, very close to it also. But we must say that Yaakov Avinu especially because of his trials and tribulations through life, what that one does to one, the mourning for Yosef and everything, caused him to probably look, so to speak, like a skeleton, 3-4 times 130. And when he answers him, that Ma'ad v'ro'im hoyu yimei shnei chayai, we have to understand this is not a complaint. This is stating a fact that the trials and tribulations he went through his life, this is the cause of his looking the way he does. And I would say the Ma'at a little, of course 130 is not a little, as far as the greater perspective of Olam Haba, eternal life, this is just a little. And therefore, even though we know how Yaakov said it, and he had the greatest simcha from all his trials and tribulations, he doesn't ask for the Yisurim, but Tzadikim Sameach Bi Yisurim. He knows the eternal, infinite reward and accomplishment of doing Ritzein Hashem for such things. But still he's taken to task, because one has to always realize, each one according to their madrega, of how it's taken by others, what he's saying, in front of whom he's saying it. And therefore, as Chazal say, 33 years were taking off his allotted 180 for the 33 words that begin from Pasuk Ches Tutes, each to his madrega. And we see again how Yosef was so concerned, as Rashi points out in Pasuk Chav, about his brothers not being ashamed and embarrassed and humiliated by the Mitzrayim when they're coming down. And that's why, as we explained, one of the reasons why he had them circumcise themselves in order to get food. And here, in this week's parsha, he makes them move from place to place to show that the land is not theirs. They shouldn't call his brothers aliens in a strange land without their own land. Also for the same reason. And the last pasuk in the parsha says, "Vayeshev Yisrael beretz Mitzrayim beretz Goshen v'yechaz uvah v'yifru v'yerbu ma'od." Now, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that Vayeshev in general is a sign of tzar, and that's the connection from the last pasuk to the first pasuk in the next week's parsha of Vayechi, that at the death of Yaakov started the Shibud Mitzrayim, as they found out not being allowed to leave the land on their own free will. And we can add that the Vayeshev is the meaning in the Gemara too, that he had that kavana. The Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen is showing, as we said many times, the difference between gay, being gay, ger, v'toshav, that was the problem here. Even though you find the show notes mentioned this parsha several times, but it's for a positive reason, showing when you have the Vayeshev Lashon that they'll be the best citizens possible, but they're always still a ger. They understand that this is still galus, but they'll be just as good as any other citizen as long as it is according to Torah. But here the problem was Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen. Why does it say Beretz Mitzrayim first? You know, when you write a letter you say Brooklyn, New York. But the pasuk is showing that this was the problem, that they started settling in Eretz Mitzrayim outside their Goshen. They went outside too much. The assimilation was starting. The attractions of Mitzrayim They let it get to them, as we know, of course, from the Zohar, 49 Madrigas of Tumah. This was the result why Shevet Levi did not fall in, because they kept in Goshen. But the Pasuk is showing you that was a problem. The assimilation had begun by being too much a Mitzrayim. They're as if a Mitzrayim is in Eretz Goshen. They brought the Mitzrayim into the Goshen. And yet, Hashem, we should never fall into that trap. To be faithful citizens to the country we live in, as long as it's according to Torah, and always remember where our true home is and what we wish for. Keni Hiratzon.